We don't have nearly as much time as usual, and I was going to speak today on a Shavas Aveda, which is quite a large topic. So I'll leave a Shavas Aveda for next week, and we'll speak a little bit in Yom Drush to cover the Rosh Chodesh. Firstly, yesterday in Rosh Chodesh Benchin, we said the following member, which is an interesting thing, which we said in the middle of Rosh Chodesh Benchin. Rosh Chodesh Benchin starts off. First, it says the obvious Yehirutzen, and which is very logical. We daven that we should have Toiva, Vrucha, Panusa, so on and so forth. I mean, there's a famous kash in Rosh Chodesh Benchin. One of the most famous kashes are that you start off by saying that we should have Chaim Shal Brucha, Chaim Shal Panusa, and then afterwards we repeat Chaim Shal Oishev Chovoid. So anybody that wanted to know the answer to that question should have been by the Shum Zocha of Bizi Danzig is Shver, right? And by Bizi Shum Zocha, his Shver already said a whole shtickle Torah on that, was Pshat and Oisha, was Pshat and Kuvin. So we're not going to go into that. But what I would like to speak about is the next memra. The first one and the last one is pretty obvious. We daven for everything that we should have a Rosh Chodesh, a Chodesh of a whole bunch of good things should happen to us. But if you take a look at the middle one, it says as follows. Mishu usu nisim laveseini, the Rebbeinu Shalom that did nisim for our fathers, v'gu aloitzam me'avdes l'cheiris, and he was also went and he redeemed them from avdes l'cheiris, he yigal aloitzuni bekuroif, he should redeem us soon, at a near time, he should collect all of us from all four sides of the world. All of Klal Yisrael are friends. And we should say Oman. So if you look at the Rosh Chodesh mentioning, it's very schwer to understand. I mean, obviously the first thing he wrote, so in people daven, you should have a wonderful month coming up. That sounds to be wonderful. Afterwards, it says which Rosh Chodesh it is in the Moilid. That seems to fit into Rosh Chodesh mention. The Yichadashay HaKadosh Baruch Eilayim HaKalam HaBayitz Yisrael also with davening for a good month ahead. But this memory in between, that whoever, the Rebbein Shalom that did Nisan for our fathers, he should also go and he took them out from Gulas. He should also take us out from Gulas, and he should collect everybody from all over the world. And Chaverim Kol Yisroel, all Chaverim, this whole memory in the middle, if you think about it, is very schwer to understand what we're actually saying over here. So, many years ago, as a young bucha, I heard the I was davening on a Shabbos morning. There was a very brilliant fellow that used to come around to me where I davened. His name was Reb Chaim Siegel. He was from the Groys HaKep. He wrote a sefer called Tal Chaim, and he spoke when I was quite a few years ago. I remember he spoke, and he asked this question on a Rosh Chodesh one time, and he said over a very interesting teretz. There's a very famous machloikis in the Rishonim, and that machloikis is, what happened bizman hazeh, we know there's no type of bezin smuchim anymore. Which means as follows. Which means, in the time of the Gemara, they went and they used to be goyve knas. There are certain things that if you do wrong, if you go and you damage somebody, so you have to pay this person for the damages that you inflicted upon him. How about if you went and you didn't actually damage a person? What you did was you did something to this person. We chayv to this person the knas. For example, chatzi nezek of a shor. So you're not mechuyev meikah din. You chayv to pay a knas. The knas was a special punishment that Bezin went and they put upon you. If you take a look in Perek HaMeniach, on the first daf in Perek HaMeniach, the Gemara discusses all the different things that are knas, and the Gemara discusses if in Bavel we're still goyve knas, right? This Moshe Shemran, Moshe Sepegam, and all these different things, which are not an actual damage, but rather you have to pay because of a knas. It so happens to be that Bezin, Bizman HaZeh, does not anymore have the power to be goyve knas. More than that, if you take a look in the first siman in Choshen Mishpat, where the Choshen Mishpat discusses the power of the Bezin Bezman HaZeh, so the power of the because technically speaking, we don't really have a true Bezin Tzmuchim, so the power of a Bezin Bezman HaZeh, what it does is, don't make fun of our Bezin, please, I know Chaim, I mean, already you're making, we don't have a Bezin Tzmuchim, you're nodding your head, huh? The power of the Bezin Bezman HaZeh is simply like the Gemara says, Anan Shli Chesed Sayu de Katmoika of Dinon. We're doing a shlichus of the previous Bate Dinim. And they only gave us the power to be going with things that are shchiach. For example, a shoshenogach bezmanazeh, you cannot be goive because it's not common today for an axe to gore a person. So on and so forth. A lot of halachas bezmanazeh that you can't be goive either because they're not shchiach or because they are knas, they're not a chiyav me'ika adin. Now, included in those halachas that you can't be goive bezman hazeh, and included in those areas where Bezin has lost its power, Bezman Hazeh, is one area which we are really lacking, and that is in Kiddush HaChodesh. Kiddush HaChodesh and Kiddush HaShana is something that Bezin Bezman Hazeh has absolutely no power to do. They cannot do Kiddush HaChodesh or Kiddush HaShana Bezman Hazeh. Now, therefore, what is missing? We have to go and we have to put in a calendar. And the calendar tells us specifically when the Kiddush HaChodesh is. Now, don't think that the calendar doesn't come without flaws. I mean, there were two calendars. There was the Tekifa of Shmuel. There was the Tekifa of Ravada Barava. And we use the one of Shmuel, basically, which is pretty much, that's the Gregorian calendar, which loses days day every 100 years. There are chesroinus in our calendar. Now, even though there are tremendous chesroinus in our calendar, this is what was stuck with. And the reason is, it would be much better to actually have a Bezin Smuchim. But Rabbi said, I'm very sorry. We don't have a Bezin Smuchim, and therefore, we cannot have a regular calendar. So I heard there is a debate in the Rishonim already. Can you go and make a Bezin Smuchim again? In other words, we lost Bezin Smuchim. Can you go and reinstill the Bezin Smuchim or not? There's the Rambam has a sheet on this. The Ramban disagrees. The Rambam and the Ramban. There's a whole question on how you learn Hashiva Shavteinu Kavarishoina, because we say that you should. The Rambam wants to say that since it says Hashiva Shavteinu Kavarishoina, you see you can return the Dayanim like they once were. The Ramban says no. Hashiva Shavteinu Kavarishoina is referring to when Mashiach is going to come, but it's a big machlokes. But let's go according to the sheet of the Rambam. According to the sheet of the Rambam, you could go and make a Bezin Smuchim Bezman Hazeh. Now, how do you make a Bezin Smuchim Bezman Hazeh? The Rambam tells us this is the way to do it. What you have to do is, you have to go and collect, get a person in Klal Yisrael, get one person, that this person, number one, the first rule, he has to be a Baki B'chol HaTorah Kula. He has to know every area of Torah. That's Aleph. Okay? After the person ends up being a Baki B'chol HaTorah Kula, the Rambam says, every group in Klal Yisrael must go and point their finger at this person and agree, yes, this person is Roy to become Samach, because he is a Baki B'chol HaTorah Kula. And then, if the person is a Baki B'chol HaTorah Kula, and every group in Klal Yisrael goes and says, yes, he is the person that's going to be the new Dayan Samach in our generation, the Shita Sarambam is that the person becomes a Dayan Musmach. Now, I see Chaim was laughing already, because you know that not every group in Klal Yisrael, not every group in Klal Yisrael is going to ever agree on one person, right? That'll be pretty hard. Yeah, what do they do?
Everybody has said he's the...
But it has to be from all the Medinas in the whole world. It can't be just from Eretz Yisrael. It has to be from everywhere. Again, I don't think Rabbi Halberstam started a Sanhedrin. Somebody else started a Sanhedrin, and there was a major debate. So if you read, there are very interesting svarim that are written. Throughout the generations, many people try to start Sanhedrins. Okay? And if you want to know the most famous and most popular case, was the... What's that? But what's the most famous case? The Bis Yosef. All right, the Bis Yosef went and took his biggest Talmud, and I think it was the Marikashi took, and he went and he made him into a Bezin Somach, and he wanted he should be able to give. He was made on him that he's the Nudai in Samach, and you see there are truvas written in that time period, and they said that Bizman Hazeh, it's impossible to say on one person that he's a Baki B'chol HaTorah Kula anymore. We're talking about 400-500 years ago, where they said that you can't say Bizman Hazeh that anyone is a Baki B'chol HaTorah Kula. So it was a very interesting discussion in that time. Is there anyone that's a Baki B'chol HaTorah Kula? Is there not? Do we pass like the Rambam? Is there? But the Svadim usually do pass like the Rambam. So the Bis Yosef goes like the Rambam all the time. The Mechaber goes like the Rambam. So they try to do it. There was a major debate. There were a few generations afterwards where they did give smicha. Yes, I heard about Sinai Tisrol a few years ago. They tried to do something similar. It got a lot of there was a lot of debate over it. But Papashis, it never took off. None of these things ever took off. But that's stam. It's a very interesting discussion. If bizman hazeh you can do something of that sort to make a bezdin samach and what it actually takes. Al Kaponim, so Rav Chaim Segel Zecharon Levracha said over a very beautiful idea. His idea was as follows. Yesterday we came on Erev Rosh Chodesh, and our intentions were to make Rosh Chodesh, right? Now, unfortunately, in our situation, due to the fact that we do not have any more Bezman HaZeh, Bezn Smuchim, the proper way to make a Rosh Chodesh would have been, there should have been Eden, should have gone out, climbed up on a mountain, and they should have seen the moon, and they should have came to the Bezn would have had different models of the shapes of the Levana, right? Like the Gemara describes in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, the Bezn of Rabbi Yochanan, and so on and so forth. And then they should have actually sat down in front of the Bezin, and the Bezin should have been Mekadosh Shechoidish. But unfortunately, as we get up to Bench Shechoidish, we realize that there's no way in the world we're actually going to be able to do that. Why? Because we do not have a Bezin Smuchim. So in middle of the Shechoidish mention, we insert one memra, and the memra is as follows. Mishos Nisan Lavisainu. So we say to the Rebbeinu Shlom, there's one thing missing, and that is Mashiach. Because if Mashiach would have been here, this whole Rosh Chodesh Benshin would be obsolete. Because this Rosh Chodesh Benshin is by default, because we have no choice. We have to bench Rosh Chodesh, because the calendar told us next month is Rosh Chodesh. Technically speaking, if there was no calendar, so there would be no Rosh Chodesh Benshin, right? So we say to the Rebbeinu Shlom, Mishos and Slavisteinu, Vigolos Mav Vacheres. So the best thing we ask, according to the Shitz Rambam, the best thing we ask the Rebbeinu Shlom is, Hu Yigalei Soni Bekarev, please redeem us very soon. And once the Rebbeinu Shlom is going to redeem us, so what is going to happen? So what's going to happen is that we're going to be able to be Mekadosh HaChodesh like it should be, Ketikuna with the actual halacha. No, Rebbeinu Shlom, what happens bizdemels? What happens if the Rebbeinu Shlom does not redeem us so soon? And we would like Mehmes to be Mekadosh HaChodesh like it should be. So the Rambam says there's two tanoim how you can do it. So we say as follows. Number one, v'ikabes nidachena me'abakam tesoharetz. What does that mean? You need to take together what a representative, which means you have to go to every single area in Klal Yisrael, and every single area in Klal Yisrael has to agree on one specific person, that what's the story with that person? He is the person that's taka zoicha to be the and chaverim kol Yisrael. They should all agree on one person, and then we'll be able to do kiddush hachodesh kitikuna. So that's how this member of Misha Osa gets into the whole picture, what is that? You thought of it when you said in the shower. So what am I missing here? So that's the pshat that he said over. It's a very, very beautiful idea of how the Misha Osa gets into the whole Rosh Chodesh bench. Now, I'll say over a vote on Rosh Chodesh from the Osra of Segoin, which is a very half of the Gechezim from the Osra of Segoin. We know that Rosh Chodesh is the yontif for women, right? The women have they don't do malach, whatever the case is. Rosh Chodesh happens to be as a yontif for the Noshim. The Taz brings down in Shulchan Aruch that the reason why Rosh Chodesh is the yontif for Noshim, what is the reason for that? Rosh Chodesh is the yontif for Noshim because Noshim were not choyte by the Egel. So I state, because Noshim were not choyte by the Egel. So, the Ostrov Segoyan asks, so very good, so the Noshim weren't choyte by the Egel, so why don't we look into the Torah which date the Egel actually was, and make that date as a yontif for the Noshim. That would be a much simpler idea. So what do? Number one, we don't give him one yontif, we give him 12. It's not fair. That's Eshens. And number two, besides the fact that we give him 12 yom tovim, what does Rosh Chodesh have to do with the Chet HaEgel? I mean, how do we connect Rosh Chodesh to the Chet HaEgel? There are many terutzim written on the Kasha, but there's a half of the Gecheshman which is set over from the Ostrov Segoyan. The Ostrov Segoyan says as follows. We know that the Gemara tells us in Masechtis Shabbos, that when the Yidden were choyte at the Egel, so they came to the Rebbeinu Shlom, they said, Rebbeinu Shlom, listen, we know we were choyte by the Egel, and some of this choyte in Avodah Zarah's Chayiv Misa, however, Rebbeinu Shlom, you know, you have a problem, you got a court case, you got to put in a plea, Chalila, right? What do you say? However, we plead, this is what the Gemara says clearly, we plead that we were never Mekabel the Torah. They put in a plea that Lamafreya, they were Mekabel the Torah, because if they were Mekabel the Torah, what would happen to them? Avodah Zarah's Chayiv Misa. So they said, said, we were never mekabel the Torah. A whole cheshbon exactly how they, and it says, I mean, it happens to be, it's very interesting. The Gemara brings down, I just saw a very interesting kasha last week, which I'm not going to go into the teretz right now. The Gemara says that, b'ri'egim ha'sh Rabbeinu tayinu to the Ribbono Shel Olam, you said, anoichi Hashem eli kecho, right? So what do you say to the Ribbono Shel Olam? Litzi veisi v'loy lahem. Hashem eli kecho, so you only told me, you didn't tell them. So I saw a beautiful kasha. If you read the second half of the pasuk, it's impossible to read Moshe Rabbeinu's taina. Why? Because it says, "Anoich Hashem lekecho, ashay tzeisicha me'eretz Mitzrayim mi'beis avodim." Right? Moshe Rabbeinu was never in Eretz Mitzrayim mi'beis avodim. Moshe Rabbeinu was never a slave in Mitzrayim. So how could Moshe Rabbeinu even have argued that point to the Ribbono Shel Olam? But that point is for a different time. I'm not going to go into that right now. The kitzur, what did the Eden taina to the Ribbono Shel Olam? We taina to the Ribbono Shel Olam. We back out. We never accepted the Torah. Okay? And the Gemara says, where do you see that in the pasuk? It says that the Eibishter gave us a luchos, choris al haluchos. Choris means it was engraved. Zok the Gemara, the Gemara Masechta Shabbos, al tikra choris, don't call it choris, rather call it cheris. What does cheris mean? Free. So he said, Rabbi Shlom, you forced us to take the Torah, right? Once you forced us to take the Torah, we back out, right? Today you can't say such a tain anymore because today we know it came Purim afterwards, and Purim they were mekabel it, right? It was not forced anymore. But this was the tain of Klai Yisrael. The tain of Klai Yisrael was, we back out and we never accepted the Torah. Now, so the Oster of Segoin says that after the Yidden put in that plea, the Rabbi Shalom came with a very stark Taina. I mean, the Ketega and the Senega, right? And the Ketega is the you have the Ketega, which you have the defense attorney, right? And you have the plaintiff's attorney. You have both attorneys here. And what happens over here is the Ketega suddenly says, "No, I'm very sorry. I cannot help you." Why can't I help you? Because let's take your cheshbon seriously. And let's say your taka would never mekabel the Torah. So if you never mekabel the Torah, you chayv misa anyways. Why you chayv misa anyways if you never mekabel the Torah? Because you kept the Torah till now. Now one of the mitzvahs you kept was Shabbos. And Akim Sheshavas is chayv misa. So the Rebbeinu Shlom time is back. You're right. I understand exactly what you're saying. You're right, but you kept Shabbos. And Hayoi said you kept Shabbos, you should know you chayv misa anyways. That's what the Rebbeinu Shlom time is back. Okay. No, so now you're going to tell me that you chayv misa because you kept Shabbos. So now the Klai Yisrael has to come back after Rebbeinu Shlom with a taina. What's the taina they can say back? They kept Shabbos. They have a problem. So the terrace was what? That they wore tzitzis. Now, why is wearing tzitzis a teretz that they didn't keep Shabbos? Let's think about it. When you wear tzitzis, these strings, you never saw a beggar that has strings hanging out on the bottom, right? What is the reason why when you wear tzitzis it's not considered a tzor b'Shabbos? Because it's a mitzvah, right? Let's say you wear tzitzis on Shabbos that has one of the tzitzis cut off. So you chayim on carrying for Shabbos, because the other three are not part of the beggar, and it's not a mitzvah. So therefore, it's a tzor b'Shabbos. So therefore, the Yidden tied it back. We wore tzitzis. Now, Hamazal, they lived before the Erev Tumul. They lived, after the Erev Tumul. Then it would have been they wouldn't have even been able to argue anything, huh? All right. They said they hold like the flatbush sheet. So there's no problem. Okay. So the kids are ma'aser. So now where are we at now? So they said they wore tzitzis. This was the tied it back that they wore tzitzis. So the Rebbeinu Shlom said, oh, very good. Okay. So but the men have a very good taina. The men have a way to get out. How do the men have a way to get out? Because they can say they wore tzitzis. The women never wore tzitzis. So if that's the case, the women never could actually have gotten out. Have ever gotten out. Why? Because the women, if they would have been choyte by the eagle, then they would have been chayv misa. And even if they would back out of keeping the Torah, they would be chayv misa because they didn't keep Shabbos. And if they were chayv misa because they didn't keep Shabbos, so the men at least had a tiny way to get out of it. What was their defense? Hey, we wore tzitzis. The women never wore tzitzis. So if you think about it, why couldn't the women be choyte in the eagle? The men could. Because the men wore tzitzis, and the women did not wear tzitzis. Therefore, the women could never have gotten out of it if they were chayt in the eagle. Zok the Oster of Segoyin. Why the men wear tzitzis and why the women not wear tzitzis? Because what? Because the mitzvah says shazman grama. Why is the mitzvah says shazman grama? Because Laila loves man tzitzis. Why is Laila loves man tzitzis? Because the pasuk says ir isem oisoi, right? You should see them and light at night. You don't see. Why don't you see so well at night? Because at day there's a sun, and by night there's a moon. But the moon should have really been how big? size of the sun. So technically speaking, if not for what? If not, so technically speaking, what is the reason why the women couldn't be chayta? The women couldn't be chayta because the moon got small. So therefore, and when is the moon the smallest? On Rosh Chodesh. So he says, if you do the cheshbon, now the cheshbon works perfectly. So here it goes. The cheshbon is, Noshim could never have tainted what? To get out of the cheta egel. Why couldn't Noshim ever tainted to get out of the cheta egel? Because then they would mechayv misal Shabbos. They would mechayv misal Shabbos. How come? Because they don't wear tzitzis. Why don't they wear tzitzis? Because Lai loves man tzitzis. Why is Lai loves man tzitzis? Says a reason, Moshe. Why is it, and therefore, Lai does not as man tzitzis. When is the time that you have the most mir tavana? Rosh Chodesh. So Rosh Chodesh became the Yontiv for Noshim. Because it's a Chesh, right? Works perfectly, right? Say it over to your wife today. She'll understand. What's the Cheshbon of how... What's that? You'd rather not. You don't want her to notice she has a special Yontiv today. I'll just stress one more point. L'kavod Rosh Chodesh. The Emes says, there's a kasha. This kasha takes a much more arichasnik discussion to really answer. But I'll just take another couple of minutes to speak about one more point, because it's really directly tied into this point. The Emes says, there's a machloikis rishonim. You have to read the Ramban and Chumash. There's a moedig kasha. The kasha is that the Rabbeinu Shalom says, and I'll talk to him one day much more barichas on this issue. But I'll just stress this point a little bit. I'll just touch on it. We know that the Eibishter made a rainbow in the world, and the rainbow that the Eibishter made is to remind us of Chet. The Ramban has the Gevaldige Kasha, which is a very difficult Kasha. Anyone that understands a bit of science knows that what is a rainbow? A rainbow is a refraction of light through a prism, right? What happens is you have the light, which is shining, and the light goes through like crystals, for example, right? Through particles, it breaks, and once the light breaks, it goes into seven different colors, right? Roji Biff, you know how it works exactly. That's what it is, right? So the Ramban asks the Gevaldige Kasha. The rainbow is something scientific, if you think about it. If the rainbow is something scientific, for example, if you go to Niagara Falls, you pretty much see a rainbow all year. Right? Because through the mist, when the mist mixes with this, when the sun shines through the mist, that's what happens. There's always a rainbow, right? And you go to certain, you know, a rainbow is not something which comes of natural, of comes and knows. The way the Torah seems to write it, when there's hate in the world, suddenly the Rebbeinu Shlomo makes a rainbow as a symbol, right? We know there's a halach in Shechanor, if you see a rainbow, so you have a chiv to make a bracha, and you're not even supposed to repeat to people that you saw a rainbow, right? Because it's ras coming to the world, nichas brachas over there. But if that's the case, it's very hard to understand that the rainbow seems to have no connection whatsoever to miyat ha'or.
Something very bad is going to happen in Niagara soon.
Sorry about that, but exactly. And Niagara always has a rainbow. So what's going on with it? It's a little bit hard to understand. The Ramban asked the kasha in the Chumash already. So I heard from Ravelsky once, and it's too long to go through. Maybe a different time we'll go through it. But if you take a look in the Kiddush Levana itself, and many other areas, the Gemara Masechet Brachos, which I was going to go through about the rainbow, but there's not much time left. But in the Kiddush Levana, you say a very interesting thing. You think about it, this whole Kiddush Levana, what's this Kiddush Levana? What are you being Mekadosh here, the moon? What are we so busy with the moon with? So if we take a look, V'lalvona oma, she'tischadosh ateres tef'eres la'mise voten, she'm asidu l'schadosh kemoiso. Something very special about the moon. Because one day, Klai Yisro will be mischadosh like the moon. Ilfo li'oysim Hashem kevoid machisei. Take a look. V'yotzim v'nech Hashem l'keinu v'kei v'sen. You daven this every single chodesh. Rabbi Nishalim, please. L'malois pegimois halvona. That you should fill the pegima, the pegam, what's lacking of the moon. I mean, I have no greater dag on my head, but that the moon should become full again. I mean, this is what we daven for every single chodesh. It shouldn't be missing anything. The sun and the moon should be equal. Okay. And then what's going to happen? David HaMelech is going to come back. I mean, there's so much that's banking on the moon becoming back to full size again. What's really going on here? So I'll just stress this point. I'll say it very bekitzer because there's really no time. But the answer to the question is as follows. Whenever there was hate in this world, the Rebbein Shalom, in return for that, gave us a miyat of ur, less light in the world. You see that the world started with ur agonis. Ur agonis was such a powerful light that a person could be mabed boin We did chait. What happened? We lost that tremendous ur. Every time that is chait, we lose ur. If you take a look in the Gemara, and the Gemara is Masechtas Brachas, the Gemara discusses by the Mabul, when the Rabbeinu Shlalom had, right? It says that the Rabbeinu Shlalom took two stars out of Shemayim to close up the Arigas HaShemayim. It's the Gemara in Soif Masechtas Brachas. And what happened over there was, again, you read through the Gemara, again, after the Mabul, we had even less light. I'll just tell you one scientific point. In order for light to break, the light has to be not that powerful. That's why light breaks into many different colors. If the light is such a powerful light that, like we had, like the original light of the world that was Mabit Boy, from one side of the world to the other, nothing can break this light. This light penetrates everything. As the world gets a Mia to Ur, so like the Gemara brings down by the Mabul, which after the Mabul was the rainbow, so what happens is now light is not that powerful. So when it hits a crystal, it breaks up because the light is not that powerful. So it's not pshat that when you see a Niagara Falls, when you see a rainbow, that says that now in Niagara Falls, like you said, Ari, Niagara Falls is about to blow up. That's not the pshat in Niagara Falls. But rather the pshat is that we live in a world where the ur can hit a crystal and break because our light is so much less powerful than the light should be, and therefore, automatically what happens is the light does break up. So it's a reminder to us that there's a miyat ha'ur in the world. Now, the day where there is the greatest miyat ha'ur is Rish Chodesh, because the moon, right, it gets bigger and smaller. The smallest moon ends up being on Rish Chodesh. And that shows us chait, like we discussed the eagle. And what happens is that as we're davening, what are we davening for? We're davening for the moon to become greater and greater and greater. Why? Because as the moon is going to get greater, then what will happen is it will be a zman of ribi ha'oir in the world, which will be a zman of tshuva, and then Mashiach is going to come, and then Klal Yisrael will be returned to its original state. So you have to understand all these tefillahs about the moon getting bigger and about Rish Chodesh having the smallest moon and it should get bigger is really davening l'hachsaha Torah l'yoshna, to return the world to its original state, that we should be zoicha to Mashiach Tzidkenu Be'ezus Hashem Yizborach.